Truck Chat Technorama for Monday, December 5th, 2005.
Any similarities between this podcast and actual events and or persons living or dead are purely coincidental. Names have been changed to protect the innocent, and no animals were harmed in making of this podcast.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Unilateral phase detractors. Cardinal gram meters. Six hydrocoptic Margot vanes. Conductors and fluxes. Prefamulated amulite. Malleable logarithmic casing. Swerving bearings. Panometric fan. Milford trunnions. Ambifacient lunar wane shaft. Lotus O deltoid type. Semi-boloid slots of the stator. Drawn reciprocation dingle arm. Sinusoidal deplaneration. Retroencabulator.
Is this the real life? Or is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide and no escape from reality? No, this is Technorama. This is show number 63. I am your host, Chuck Tomasi, and with me, as always, is my trusty co-host, Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I think I'm okay. I've survived the weekend.
You had a... Tell us about your weekend. You lay on the couch, and I'll take notes, and you can tell us about your weekend.
Let me stretch out on the nice Technorama couch. Ugh. Well, it all started, felt like, 3 weeks ago. We cut down our own Christmas tree yesterday. Actually shot some video doing that. It looked like I cut the tree down with a candy cane. It was a striped saw. And so we got that home. I was going to do some editing last night and woke up on my couch. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. So then today, I had to go down, meet a friend, do some recording, come back, hang out with the family, wanted to do some more editing. Son wanted to watch Christmas shows. Oh, this has been one thing after another. Loads of fun.
How's the weather down there?
Crappy, man. You know, it's funny you mentioned that because it's been raining and thundering.
Hmm.
Actually, earlier I came in here to do some editing, and I heard. I was like, "What in the world's going on in this house?" I thought it was the dog. We got a big boxer, you know. I thought it was something's going on. Turns out it was thunder outside.
We've had snow and cold. Winter is in full force here.
Oh shoot! I could have wore shorts today, for some reason. I don't know.
You're lucky you didn't have to do any recording while the thunder goes on. That's really annoying.
I would have liked to be recording. I had a lot of stuff to do.
Well, coming up in tonight's show, we've got, I'm just going to label this one Potpourri. You guessed it. We're all over the geekosphere again tonight.
And it's not because we smell good.
No, it has nothing to do with that.
Actually, I do have some news on, I don't know if some of you remember my implosion video that I recorded a while back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got some more information on that. It's kind of an update. Mm.
And we've got wonderful listener feedback. We've got some voicemail to play. We've got a couple of news stories. But,
hey, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Potpourri.
Ouch. All right, let's start it off in our usual way.
Do it.
On this day in tech history for December 5th, 2005. This is December 5th. It's the 339th day of the year. There are 26 days remaining in 2005. It was on this date in 1492 that Christopher Columbus becomes the first European to set foot on the island of Hispaniola, now Haiti and the Dominican Republic. And in 1926, Sergei Einstein's battleship Potemkin debuts. The German physicist Albert Einstein was granted a visa on this day in 1932. And Flight 19, a United States Navy training flight, was lost in the Bermuda Triangle on this date in 1945. In 1952, The Abbott and Costello Show, starring comedians Bud Abbott and Lou Costello, debuts. Subscriber trunk dialing, also known as STD, is inaugurated in the UK by the Queen when she dials a call from Bristol to Edinburgh and speaks to Lord Provost on this date in 1958. And 31 years ago, the last new episode of Monty Python's Flying Circus was broadcast on the BBC. Happy birthday goes out on this date in 1868 to Arnold Summerfield, the German physicist. Also in 1879, Clyde Cessna was born, the American airplane manufacturer. Happy birthday 104 years ago to Walt Disney. And three Nobel Prize winners. The German physicist Werner Heisenberg was born on this date in 1901. Cecil Frank Powell, the British physicist, was born on this date in 1903. And Sheldon Lee Glashow, the American physicist, was born on this date in 1932. And that's the way it was on this date in tech history for December 5th, 2005.
Faster at typing than a bullet. More powerful at debugging code than a locomotive. Able to leak tall servers at a single bound. Yes, it's Super Geek. Starring Craig Stepp as the Man of Code and Chuck Chet as the tenacious reporter Jimmy Eldap. Make sure you catch the next exciting episode by tuning in to Technorama, a Friends in Tech production.
How about that? Craig's got his own sweeper now.
Yes, it's a little long, but yes, I'll take it. Actually, you know what? I started to rip my shirt open, but realized there's nothing under there.
Not your Technorama shirt, I hope.
Yeah.
You gotta like
no,
that.
No, I'm not gonna rip that one.
Thank you very much to Phil Clark for putting that production together for us. Yeah. He even remembered the Friends in Tech thing.
Hey, a.k.a. Dr. Phil.
Dr. Phil. He's not a real doctor.
Well, neither is the real one.
But he plays one on the podcast.
Neither is the real one.
Not that Dr. Phil.
That Dr. Phil ain't real either.
Might get to see Dr. Phil in a few months.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Might drive down to Chicago, have a meetup. Actually, the catalyst of this is Richard Vobes from the Richard Vobes radio show is planning a trip to the USA.
Oh, yeah. When's he coming?
Well, he's trying to get it in March sometime.
Can we put his itinerary in the wiki?
It's actually in his forums.
Okay, cool.
The whole thing's being laid out there. So
now you're going to bring him over and have him on your show, right?
Well, I'll probably he'll be on my show, but maybe we can work something out if I bring some gear. Or yeah, we might be do some cross-pollination there.
Cool.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Wait a minute. How's Dr. Phil working that?
How is he? He's in Chicago, and that's a good central point, and he's just a coordinator for that leg of the journey. That's not the only place Richard will be.
Oh, I see. Is he going around the country?
Potentially.
You know what?
That's all still vaporware right now. That's what's being wound up.
Okay, and let's move on with our show.
Yeah, right now you know as much as I do about that whole thing.
So, is he bringing shaving cream? Is he...
Moving right along.
Yeah.
Listener feedback. We've got Yorga found a web form front end to that geek code thing we were talking about before, where you get, you know, the G++ and the P minus dollar sign and that whole thing. There is a web form front end where you just go, click, I'm a male, click, I'm married, click, you know, and then it'll kick out the right
stuff.
You
know what's funny? But I thought about looking for a web front-end because I knew there was probably one somewhere. And I looked in our show notes, and there it was, staring me right in the face.
Yep.
The Geek Code web front-end.
And once again, we've been called out, this time again by Scott Reynolds, on our article about Douglas Adams and the 2FX that was purchased on eBay. He says, Chuck, you have Mac Tracker, don't you? Yeah. If not, why not? If you had looked it up, you would have known that the Macintosh 2FX was running a 68030. I think I said 20 at the time. Running at 40 megahertz. That's impressive because my Quadra 650 is an 030 running at 33 megahertz. And I thought it was newer than this one, so, which is why I kind of put it behind a little bit. It's the latter bit that makes them relatively unique because of the relatively high speeds. Some of the standard components wouldn't work on this machine. They designed a few completely new chips, e.g. the chip implementing the SCSI interface, that they never used in any other machine. So, thank you very much, Scott. I will have to get Mac Tracker so that I know all of my models inside out and backwards and forwards.
Cool. Hey, I got an idea.
Yeah.
You know, we've been getting all these people calling us out for factual information. Well, you know, putting our show notes in the wiki was kind of... I will say the idea did stem from Adam Curry because, you know, he was starting to do that. Actually, he was putting a link to some wiki notes and his listeners would actually update it. I'm thinking of one up, but why don't we have pre-show notes?
So that people can fix them before we do the show?
No. Hey, send us some feedback on that and tell us what you think.
Well, I guess.
Actually, you know what? It's actually not that bad of an idea. We put our show notes out there as we're building them,
but 80% of it is built in the last 12 hours. I don't know how useful that would be.
You never know.
You never
hey
know.
Well, the internet's 24/7, man.
That's true. We could have like Douglas from Australia working on it when we're asleep.
I like that. The Technorama never shuts down.
Your 24/7 podcast.
Yeah, like a drugstore. Hey, but anyway, if you think that's an interesting idea, send us some feedback and let us know, because I'd be curious to see what y'all think about that.
That is rather interesting. Hey, it never hurts to explore new possibilities.
Or would it deflate our show, because everybody knows what we're going to talk about?
Speaking of letting us know...
and deflating.
I'm not sure how that ties in.
Okay.
Let us know what's on your holiday wish list, whether you expect to get it or not. We want to know what you want. No, we're not buying it for you. But I would like to know some of the cool things that are on your list that may not be on my list. Put it in our wiki just for fun. Then if someone you love is listening and they want to know what you want, point them there. We'll have a link to the wish list in the show notes, of course.
Hey, and you know, if we win one of us wins the lottery, we might buy you something off that list.
Yeah, it could happen.
Yeah, maybe.
Pigs could fly.
All right. So what's this? You got another...
we have a voicemail from our buddy Lenny. He's got some news for us. Yeah, Lenny.
It's been a while since we talked to him.
Yeah, it has. He's been busy, and you'll find out why.
Okay.
Lenny, hey, I just wanted to tell you that I was in a TV commercial. I'm so excited. Yeah, it was one of those Verizon commercials. You know how they have everybody standing around and... and they're showing how big their network is and stuff. Well, it's the one where the guy comes out of the airport and he looks and there's a sign and all the Verizon people are holding up the same sign for the guy's last name because he's like, hey, we're expecting you. Well, I'm right in the back, but if you look real hard, you'll see me. And the guy who does, can you hear me now? All that stuff? Yeah, that's my cousin. That's how I got on the commercial. It was really cool because he put a good word in for me. And the really cool part about this whole thing is, I think there are other opportunities that are awaiting me now that I've been on TV once. So, catch me later. 101, guys. Bye.
Oh, gosh.
Thanks, Lenny.
Hey, you know what he says? You mentioned that. You know what pops in my head is, remember on Monsters, Inc. when they show the commercial for Monsters, Inc.? We're doing it for you or whatever, and it shows...
And Mike is obscured?
Yeah, obscured by the circle, and that's what I'm thinking.
Did you see me?
Hey,
did you see
I've been
me?
On TV!
Yeah, that's probably how Lenny would take it. Actually, he brings up a good point. Mm-hmm. We are, Lenny does have a part coming up in a production from Friends in Tech. We're doing a Geek Christmas Carol.
Oh, yes. And let me tell you, it is shaping up quite nicely.
And Lenny has a part in it. We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. So be looking forward to that. I think around December 18th, we should have that out.
Woohoo! And it will be released in parts, because there are different parts with, you know, the different ghosts and the beginning and the end and whatnot. And have we decided whether or not we're going to be doing a full release at the end?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There'll be a point when you get the whole thing, the whole six-hour saga.
It's not going to be
six hours.
No,
it's not 6 hours. No, it's not 6 hours.
I have a tip if you're listening to this show by direct download, by going to the website and clicking on Listen Now or whatever happened, you know, to the gray podcast link, clicking that way, consider subscription. It's simple, it's easy, and you get the show automatically downloaded to you when it's ready. That makes it easy on you, makes it easy on us. Not that there's a whole lot of extra work involved for the subscribers versus non-subscribers, but it gives us some better metrics and actually shows the world that you care for us.
So when you think you got all your bugs worked out of iTunes, put us in there.
That's right. iTunes, if you're not particularly, you know, you don't want to do the iTunes things, there are other applications for Windows, such as Doppler or iPodder, which is now called Juice Receiver.
Yo, home.
Juice Bar? Oh, that's a different guy.
Hey, and there's, well, still named iPodder X and iPodder XP.
Yep. iPodder X for the Mac and Windows.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of options out there. You can even use something like NetNewsWire on the Macintosh if you want to use a newsreader similar to iPodder X and how it encapsulates everything. So it just shows you're a little more above the geek curve than the rest if you're doing a subscription thing.
The creme de la creme.
Yeah. Oh, hey, do we get the news desk up and running tonight?
Let's see. Is it? I think it... Yes, it is.
God, I love that old TTY.
Yeah.
You can almost see that little tinsel tinfoil thing to keep the static off the paper, can't you?
Yeah.
Now, you have found the Forbes fictional... I have not looked at this yet. Tell me about it.
Yeah. Okay, here it is. It's the Forbes Fictional 15. It's the 15 top fictional characters that, as soon as this ad gets out of my way, I can tell you about it. It's the super rich fictional characters. And number one, actually, let's back up. Let me start from number 10. How about that? There's 15 of them, but I'll start with number 10. Are you ready?
Ready.
Number 10 is Willy Wonka. Number 9. Don't do this all the way through. Number 9 is Thurston Howell III.
So he's richer than Willy Wonka.
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay,
I don't know how they chose that. And they do have links to all this explaining, I guess, how they come across this. Anyway, number 8 is Bruce Wayne. Number 7 is Jed Clampett.
Jed is richer than Batman.
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay.
Maybe it's because he's got family. You know, number 6 is Scrooge McDuck.
Oh, come on.
Number 5 is C. Montgomery Burns.
Excellent.
And number 4, richer than all the previous, is Lex Luthor. Number 3.
Okay.
Can you see that?
No.
Well, hey, Lex has got some money. Because he makes some stuff trying
to be
Superman.
Did they explain where it came from?
Who, Lex Luthor?
What, internet scams?
Yeah. Yeah, right. Number 3 was Richie Rich.
No.
I'm
sorry. That one doesn't work for me. Keep going.
All right, number 2, Oliver Daddy Warbucks.
No.
Okay. Well, you can't really argue with this last one. Are you ready?
Keep going.
Number 1 is Santa Claus.
Santa Claus.
Hey, he's got to have money, man, to make toys and drop them
all. I suppose if he drops them all over the world. I'm just curious as to, you know, where these people get their income. I'm taking this way too literally, but where do they get their income? I want to see, you know, the published amounts of these people, their net worth.
Well, you know, Lex Luthor has Luthor Corp.
And they make...
There you go. Lex Luthor is net worth is about $10.1 billion. So, wait a minute. So, Bill Gates could actually make some of the crap that Lex Luthor makes?
He's fictional.
So is Linus Torvalds. I've never seen him. I don't know that he exists. Well, wait a minute. How much was Bruce Wayne worth? $6.5 million? Billion. No. And they say Santa Claus is worth... Oh, infinity.
I guess he wouldn't have to worry about his net worth going down any.
Yeah, no kidding. Anyway, what you got here?
I've got a news story. This came from Jim Sir from the AP Newswire. Mm-hmm. It seems that a lawsuit seeking to potentially cover hundreds of thousands of America Online subscribers accuses the Time Warner Inc. section of them of illegally billing customers by creating secondary accounts for them without their consent. Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah.
What do you do? Send you two bills. This one's to Mr. Tomasi, and this one's to Mr. Tomasaki. Same address, same bill.
Tomasaki. Hello, Tomasaki-yan.
You'd be amazed at the way people misspell my name.
Hey, have you seen my name?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, yeah, but there's only like two or three ways you could screw that up.
You
want
to bet? Oh, you want to bet?
Do you collect mailing labels for misspelled names in your office?
I should have, but no, I have not. I've been called Dreg Step, of course, Greg, which is incorrect for me.
Oh, you're talking about the first name. I was thinking about the last name.
No, wait a minute. No, okay. My last name, I get Steppy, Steppa. Of course, I get STEP instead of the whole thing.
Steep?
Stap. I get Stap. I don't know. Nobody ever gets it right. As a matter of fact, and the thing I'm going to talk to you about later, which is no fault of his own, and I'll talk about later. Well, I'll mention it later. But anyway, luckily I had my name corrected before this next news thing. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to keep talking about the misspellings.
But you know,
you ever notice how once that gets into the grid, that it's in there forever? I somebody misspelled one at Hewlett Packard years ago. It was Tom Sari. And well, of course, you know, if you put a K in there, instantly I go from Italian to Polish. I become Tomaski. And these things are floating around forever. These mailing lists go from one computer to the next, and I still get crap, and I go, you got that from HP some way, way back when.
I'm Tom Sari.
Yeah, instantly I'm Japanese because HP misspelled it. Thank you, Mr. Tom Sari. It's pretty bad. You know,
that is pretty funny.
Then people will put an H in there. Mr. Tomasi? Tomaski? Well, you've heard the Richard Vobes thing.
Yeah. Well, hey, and you know, in all fairness, I know you're talking about your last name. My first name is, you know, Kreg.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, nobody ever gets that right. You know, I'm always, how do you tell people, okay, my name's Craig Step, K, and then they're automatically writing a C. Do you spell it out first?
No.
Yeah, I don't know. I've experimented over the years. It's like, usually I just start spelling
it. Just start spelling it, yeah. What's your name? K. Okay.
And then you get that, but if you start spelling it, some people have that delayed confusion. They're looking at their paper and they're like, what's he saying? You know, you're trying to understand the letters instead of just write them, you know. K? Oh, K.
Oh, I got to tell you, one of my friends, what he would do. He would, if somebody asked him for his name, like you go to Pizza Hut and they say, put your name in this thing and you could win a free lunch. He would do that just to see where his name would go in the grid. But he wouldn't put Reisdorf. He would put like Reis Pizza Hut. or if he went to the car dealership, it would be Chuck Reis Chevy. And he would see, where does that show up later? She goes, a magazine subscription to Hot Rod Magazine from Chuck Reis Chevy. I know where that came from.
To crush it. Hey, it's kind of like you're using Google Mail and putting the plus
yeah.
plus things at the end of it. I'm going to have to experiment with that.
It's a funny gag just to see where your name goes through the grid. I mean, on a similar note, whenever I call up GoDaddy, our hosting provider, who has not paid us anything for that mention, but whenever I call them up and they say, I noticed your domain registration is not labeled as anonymous. So when you do a who is, they can tell who you are. Would you like that to be, you know, hidden and secret? Like, lady, I've been on the internet for like 20 years. I am way past the point. Exactly. I am way past the point of anonymity. Google has searches from news groups on me from like 1988. It's not worth it at this point.
It'd be the only thing secret.
Yeah. It's like trying to hide an elephant behind a, you know.
Is this Chuck's website?
A house plant.
Look at these other 30. Oh, man. Yeah.
Okay. We got a strange story? I got a strange story for you.
Oh, do you? Okay. Let's put it out.
I should have put a sweeper in there, but I'm too lazy tonight. A man in a hot air balloon realized he was lost. He reduced altitude and spotted a woman below. He descended a bit more and shouted, "Excuse me! Can you help me? I promised a friend I would meet him here an hour ago, but I don't know where I am." The woman below replied, "You're in a hot air balloon hovering approximately 30 feet above the ground. You're between 40 and 41 degrees north latitude and 59 and 60 degrees west longitude. You must be in network support," said the balloonist. "I am," replied the woman. "How did you know?" "Well," answered the balloonist, "everything you told me is technically correct, but I have no idea what to make of your information. And the fact is, I'm still lost. Frankly, you've not been much help at all. If anything, you're delaying my trip." The woman below responded, "You must be in management." "I am," replied the balloonist. "But how did you know?" "Well," said the woman, "you don't know where you are or where you're going. You've risen to where you are due to a large quantity of hot air." Stick with me on this.
Okay, I'm trying to.
"You made a promise which you've no idea how to keep, and you expect people beneath you to solve your problems. The fact is, you're in exactly the same position you were in before we met. But now, somehow, it's all my fault." My wife sent that to me. I thought it was funny. I originally heard the first part where he goes, "You know, you must be in support, tech support, because you've told me a lot of useful information, but it's of no use." But I never heard that second part about management.
That's pretty
funny. That was
actually you could have stopped at the hot airport. And I would thought it was funny. All right.
On with the main stories.
Yes, we're moving right along tonight.
We are. We're 28 minutes into this thing.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, hey, did you see the first video game?
I did.
The real first video game. Not Pong.
Not Pong. No, this came way before Pong, from 1958.
Yeah, it's a Tennis for Two.
And actually, look. Output was on this oscilloscope.
Yeah, that's what I'm about to say. It's like the... You see the little thing when you go back and forth.
Yeah, the game controllers were like a button and a pot you tweak. And I'm not sure what the pot did. Was it velocity of the ball? Because sometimes, if you watch the little movie that we'll put in the link in the show notes, sometimes they were hitting it close to the net. Sometimes they were hitting it far back after it would bounce once. And I'm not sure how the two controls they had on the game controller actually worked. So I'm curious about that aspect. But man, you hit those buttons and you hear a clack of these relays in. It was something for 58. That was impressive.
You look at the picture with all those machines sitting there, and it says instrumentation at the top. You know, I can't help but thinking that was like the precursor to the Game Boy.
It was
the 1958 version.
There was a lot of equipment on that table.
It was. I mean,
this was like an 8-foot table covered with crap.
And you know what? Yeah, and that is the electronics that ran the tennis game for two. That's pretty funny.
And it all came out on this right little, 4 or 5 inch oscilloscope screen.
Yeah.
That was impressive.
Yes. I didn't watch the video, but I did see that they said that it had better sound than you'd think, too.
We love the retro stuff.
Oh, it's awesome.
That's good stuff. And speaking of retro stuff, You can go to digicraft.com.au and get your own retro computer calendar.
Oh, sweet. Calendar?
Yeah.
Oh, and it's that time of the year, too. It'd be good for next year.
It's got 1 month has an Atari 800XL, one has a Tandy Coco, one has an Apple II GS. And, you know, for about the cost of the calendar, I'll bet I could go down that computer recycle place and get these actual computers.
$10. You know what? I'm totally doing it. I'm going to get those.
You are?
That's me. I'm there.
That was pretty cool.
It is cool.
Okay.
Yeah, January is the TRS-80 color computer.
Color computer, yeah, and good pictures, too. Good pictures. And there's all kinds of facts about each model on the page, too.
That's so cool. I'm so there.
Okay.
I'm ditching my Chick-fil-A calendar for next year.
Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, man, those are good calendars, man.
You're feeling kind of speechless? Well, that's because you're not listening to enough Technorama with Chuck Tomasi and Craig Stepp. This is Victor Cahill of the Typical PC User Podcast, and I'm here every Wednesday and Saturday watching them do the show and listening to the magic happen. Now back to Chuck and Craig.
I think you've got something there, and I'll wait outside until you clean it up.
What the Chuck?
What's up with that?
I skipped your implosion. Fine, we'll go back to the implosion.
I'm about an implosion.
I did a control refresh. It wasn't refreshed in the wiki. I don't know what happened.
You go ahead and do your what the Chuck.
All right.
And then we'll talk about it.
All right.
God. Yeah, speaking of watching it happen, you're watching it right now. Explode in my face. Here, Craig, hold this.
Now I've completely lost my motivation for this rant. Okay. There. I'm back. Yesterday, we went to see Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
Oh, cool.
Good movie. Mm-hmm. I listened to Mer Lafferty's quotes on what she thought about it, and I kind of came away with the same things, but I'll leave that for another time. Anyway, as always, there are a dozen trailers before the movie. There's a trailer for Superman coming in December 2006. There was a trailer for Fantastic Four coming in, what, a couple of days, weeks, something like that.
Huh?
Fantastic Four? Yeah. I forgot the release date. Someone can call me out.
The movie's out. It came out earlier this summer.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Was it number two? Maybe it was on DVD. What the heck was I looking at?
DVD.
All right, so there were two dozen trailers, and I forgot half of them.
The release date was in May.
I'm just telling you, I don't remember them all. But the one that really killed me was this trailer for... There had a whole bunch of penguins, and they started dancing around. It's called Happy Feet. It's a CG movie about penguins. And I recognize Robin Williams' voice in there. Listen to this. The release date is November 2006. That's 11 months away.
Mm-hmm.
How far in advance do they have to show movie trailers? I mean, if it's a blockbuster like Star Wars, yeah, I can understand 9 months or something like that. But 11 months for this movie that... really didn't look like it was going to be the hit of the year, and they're releasing it in November 2006. Do we really need to know that far in advance?
They did that with Chicken Little.
Did they do it that far?
Yeah, we've been. I took my son to go see. Well, I know we went to go see Polar Express last Christmas when it came out. And I think they had an ad for that, and they've had little teasers throughout the year, but it just finally came out, you know, a couple weeks ago.
I wonder if it's easier just to do the CG movies that far ahead.
Hey, here's another example. Pixar, their Cars, that's coming out next year.
I'm smelling a theme here.
Oh, man, that movie, you're like, hey, it looks great. Oh, you know, November 2010.
I also have to agree with our friend Mike Menengay at the Dragon Page that Hollywood's really losing their originality.
Duh. I mean, how many TV shows have you seen made into movies?
How many movies have you seen redone?
How many movies have you seen that were crap?
All right, we're well, I think we're done beating up on Hollywood, because I can't make a comeback to that one.
Oh, yeah? I got more. No.
Yes.
Let's cover your, since I glossed over it, let's cover your movie thing. I thought this was really cool when you told me about it.
Yes, actually, the other, you know, when was that? In June. The beginning of June. It had been delayed a couple times. We had an implosion next door to my office. It was the old Charlotte Convention Center. And I have on my blog a little write-up on how I did it and where I had two cameras placed. I VNC'd to one through the network to kick it off because I couldn't be in my own office when this happened. So, at any rate, I posted this up on my web, had a little video clip. Well, the other day I got an email from Andy Brown. He's with the Avid Liquid Users Group. Mm-hmm. Avid Liquid is, Pinnacle used to have Liquid, which was it's a video editing package. Avid bought it, and they have the Avid Liquid Users Group. He belongs to this, and they were all working on individual projects on the implosion. They all shot their own video, each member did in the group, and were going to work on their own projects. Well, like I said, I got an email. He ran across my article in my blog and was like, oh, you got video. Do you still have the original? I was like, yeah, sure. It's still sitting on my Mac Mini, happened to be. So I caught up with him and gave it to him. I was happy to give it to him. He's working on an amateur project. It's a DVD project. Splicing in my images or in video, my pictures and video, I should say, and his, and he has interviews and all that good stuff too. He's putting it all together, and he will make it available on the web. It's I think it's a WMV. It won't be too long. I think it's only like 12 minutes, at least the one I saw. So I thought it was real interesting. And you know what else is cool is I had made him a disc. I made him a DVD.
Yeah.
And apparently he had trouble reading the DVD minus R's. I'm sorry. What did I have? Plus R's?
Plus R or minus R. There was an incompatibility in there somewhere.
Yeah, I've got, I had minus R's. No, I had a plus R. I had DVD plus R's, and I burned those on them. And he couldn't read the plus R, so I only had one minus R disc here at the house, so I couldn't burn the original video on there. It was way too big. For more than one, I'd have to have more than one disc. Well, what I did was... What did I do? I'm getting to that point. You can call this a Craig rant in a minute. Chuck, thanks. No, what I did was I dumped the video back from iMovie back to a tape that I could give him back to my camera on a mini DV. What I did was you put a blank tape in, hook it up to your iMovie and the Mac FireWire, the whole works. And you do file, share, and in share, select your video camera, mm-hmm. and you tell it, you basically give it a time to wait for the camera to start up and then start playing the video. I gave it like, was it 1 or 2 seconds? So it actually kicked off the camera, started recording, it started playing the video, threw it back through the FireWire to the camera, recorded it, everything's perfect, which I thought was neat. I'd never done that before.
That is really cool.
Yeah, I've heard of people dumping it back to mini DV, but... anyway, like I said, I'd never done that, and it was seamless. Bam. Right there in the help. Told you right.
Yeah, I seem to remember seeing something about that in my documentation, but I never had a need for it. I had to do an analog dub once from VHS into the mini DV, mm-hmm. but I never did digital back that way.
See, I'm more of a hard copy guy. I've shied away from archiving my stuff on tapes as opposed to the two clips that I had. They were 20-minute clips. And in full DV, one was 4 meg and one was about 3 meg. So I burned them on two DVDs for them, you know, put one file on one as files, not as video, on, you know, not as a video DVD or anything like that. That's what he was having trouble reading. But
tweet!
Yes.
Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and whenever I'm in podcast land, I listen to Chuck Chat.
Quickly through our geek library, we've got a couple things. One first thing is courtesy of Phil Clark. Yes, that's the same, a.k.a. Dr. Phil, as we mentioned earlier.
Not the real Dr. Phil, much like they're not the real Dr. Phil on TV.
All right, we've been through that. He sent us link to the top 20 geek novels. See if you agree. Maybe this is kind of like the top 15 list that Craig had a little while ago. You may agree, you may not. But it's geek novels, not necessarily science fiction, not necessarily really anything. It's just stuff geeks read. So look for that link. And
the X-Men 3 trailer comes out on Monday. That's probably what you saw, Chuck. Wasn't Fantastic Four. I bet it was X-Men 3.
I think you're right.
So the trailer comes out online
Monday, which is tomorrow. I can't wait to see it.
Where can they see that?
At comingsoon.net. Oh, you can also see it, I'm sure, in iTunes or something like that, too.
You think they'll release that?
In iTunes?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Have you looked at the movie trailers in iTunes?
They're usually a little behind, though. I was looking for a specific one. I heard it was coming out, and I didn't find it there right away.
You may not. I don't know. I know on the website, you know, that's right. On the website, I've seen some. I think if you just type in quicktime.com or go to the QuickTime site on Apple's site, you can find you can see the whole list of them. Actually, I find it a little easier to look at that than I do in iTunes looking for a movie trailer.
True. Hey, it's speaking of Apple, I've got another quick rant here real quick. This wasn't even planned, but...
Only one per show.
It's my show. went into Sherlock, and we were looking for times to go to the Harry Potter movie. So I looked up our area, I looked up the theater, I went by title, and it said first show was at 4 o'clock on Saturday. So we went to the theater, we got there about 3:45, bought our tickets, and they said for 4:15. I said, wasn't that supposed to be on the ultra screen? She said, no, that was the 3:25 show. I said, wait a second. The first show on Sherlock was 4 o'clock, and our ticket said 4:15, so something is out of sync, and I don't trust Sherlock anymore.
What's the ultra screen?
Super big. You know, normally
is
a lot
like
of these...
IMAX?
Not quite that big, but it's bigger than your standard, you know, 16-in-1 Cineplex things. They
really?
Built a special annex to their 16 Cineplex thing to show... Like Lord of the Rings, when it debuts, they show every third show or something on that big one. Gives you some of that old-time feeling.
Now, speaking of Hollywood, you know, I thought it was pretty... That's interesting, because I've never seen a screen that big. But, you know, except for IMAX. But, you know, Chicken Little, when it came out, I think the first weekend, it was out in 3D.
Really?
Yeah. And I was like, come on, let's go. And... whatever reason we didn't get to make it, and I was like, crap.
Hey, I've got something on the idea list for you, the wonderful listener. If you want to get something free for a geek friend of yours, give them us. Give them a clue how to get Technorama. Show them.
I thought you were saying give us something for free.
No, I'm well.
Yeah, you know,
email's free.
Yeah.
Show them how to subscribe. They'll thank you twice a week, or maybe they won't. But yeah, they'll thank you twice a week. And isn't that worth our price of admission? Absolutely free.
Sounds good to me. Oh, and don't forget, we talked about it. We alluded to it a little bit. Well, we talked about it, I guess. That's where I say allude, but nah.
No,
anyway,
we talked about it.
Yeah, we're us as a group with our friends in tech, all of us are working on the Geek Christmas Carol. And I will say I wrote it, but I'm going to tell you something. Douglas Welch, with the Career Handbook, the high-tech Career Handbook, he actually did some really good editing on what I had written. So I want to kind of share the credit with him on writing that. But the audio is starting to come in. This is going to be an awesome radio project.
Lots of cameo appearances, too.
We got some cameo appearances. It's a Geek Christmas Carol, because you can kind of see where that's going. I'm not going to release too many details right now, but it's coming together quite nice, and probably in the next week or so, in a couple weeks it'll be done. Next show we'll have a little something more to play for you.
Teaser, trailer kind of thing.
Yeah. So it's coming together quite nicely.
And a big thank you to Craig and Douglas and the rest of the gang at Friends in Tech for pulling that together. It is awesome.
Yes. And, yes, it's a big production. Yes, very good.
I did my pieces today. That was fun.
I can't wait to hear those.
That was fun.
Oh, you should hear my son.
Well, yeah. Call it what you like, but we've hit that point where we call it the end of the show.
Oh, I thought we called it a brick wall.
Oh. I have a car squealing sound thing, but we won't do that tonight. No.
Okay, here's how you can contact us. You can call our listener line at 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. If you want to email Chuck, you can email Chuck at chuck@chuckchat.com or send audio comments to chuckchat@gmail.com. You can also email me at kreg@chuckchat.com. And don't forget to visit the website chuckchat.com for forum, swag, webcam, our mailing lists, show notes, and all that good stuff. And don't forget to visit my blog at spindle.com.
Hey, coming up in our next show, we've got, if everything comes together, the stars align and all that, interview with T. Morris, the author of Podcasting for Dummies, co-author, I should say. Evo Terra was the other one, and we might get him on a
Evo
future
who?
Show. Yeah, him.
Yeah, that other guy.
So, until next time, binary high five, everybody.
101, y'all.
You are in error. You are a biological unit. You are imperfect.